We are at a very fine radio station, KOI in Portland, Music Radio 97, CBS Radio Mystery Theater in a few minutes. It's 11 o'clock, KOI in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford says he is pleased with Thursday night's Senate action, giving final congressional approval to the plan to station American technicians in the Sinai. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The Senate voted 70 to 18 in favor of the plan, which calls for about 200 American civilians to man the early warning equipment in the Sinai truce between Egypt and Israel. The vote clears the way for implementation of the accords. Israel has said it would not sign them until Congress approved the use of the Americans. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
President Ford Thursday night told a nationally broadcast news conference that if Congress refuses to cut taxes and government spending, the voters should throw them out of office. The president covered a number of other topics besides his appeal for the tax cut, spending cut plan. He said a new long-term agreement on grain sales to Russia is near. He also repeated his position that the federal government should not aid New York City with its money problems. The president was asked about his cancellation of a planned visit to Louisville, Kentucky.
There are some unusual circumstances in Louisville at the present time. I am going, however, to several other places, to Detroit tomorrow night and to Connecticut next week. And under no circumstances does this decision involving Kentucky have any impact on my decision to travel where I think it's the right thing to do, bearing in mind any security problems that might be raised.
The president specifically mentioned the tension in Louisville because of that school busing plan there. Mr. Ford repeated his opposition to forced busing. The American Automobile Association says the congressional proposal to eliminate the federal income tax deduction for state and local gasoline taxes is thoughtless and unjust. Wednesday, the House Ways and Means Committee voted to take away the deduction used annually by some 20 million Americans. On Thursday, the same committee voted to nearly double the tax exemption for themselves and other members of Congress for expenses for living in Washington. One dissenter on the panel was Democrat Vanderveen of Michigan.
The rationale was that the $3,000 limit on expenses that congressmen incur while in Washington and away from their home districts simply is out of date, that it's not enough, and I agree with that, but the time for taking care of that simply isn't right in view of the fact that there has been just a recent pay raise passed in Congress.
Representative Richard Vanderveen of Michigan. Lewis Harris, the poll taker, says if political and business leaders, in his words, had the guts to tell them the truth, the American people would make the drastic changes in their lifestyles needed to survive. Harris says unless their leaders muster the courage to ask the people to sacrifice, neither inflation, the recession, nor the flaws in the quality of life are going to be corrected. The W.T. Grant Company, which is reorganizing under the federal bankruptcy laws, says it will close 201 of its stores, including most of its outlets, west of the Mississippi River. Now this.
Most appetizers you eat, but there's one appetizer you drink, Dubonnet.
Before that taxi, I'll have a glass of Dubonnet before a meal by day or night. Dubonnet is always right before, yeah, before. It's the time before, for Dubonnet.
Think of Dubonnet. Dubonnet is an appetizer, a wine you drink before meals, before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's right for your appetite. Whether you serve it straight, on the rocks with a twist or soda, the distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before, it's the time.
USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
With the sectarian fighting in Lebanon reaching critical proportions, Lebanese Prime Minister Karami says that Yasser Arafat, the head of the Palestine Liberation Organization, will come to Beirut to try to help stop the violence. Karami just returned from Damascus, where he discussed the situation with Arafat and Syrian President Assad. At least 65 people were reported to have died in Beirut and Tripoli in the past 24 hours. The fighting involves mostly right-wing Christians and left-wing Muslims, some of the latter being supported by Palestinian commandos. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
James Liming has launched efforts to suppress evidence against him in burglary and theft cases. The attorney for the former 24-year-old security guard and Gresham police officer submitted motions today in Marion County Circuit Court in Salem. Liming was arrested last April, setting off an investigation of Portland area law enforcement personnel regarding alleged purchase or receipt of some of property Liming is accused of taking. Liming's attorney claims, among other things, that all confessions and admissions allegedly came by the defendant were all involuntary and in violation of his right to counsel. Tentative agreement has been reached on a contract covering more than 1,100 teachers and school nurses in Eugene. The settlement averted a strike the Eugene Education Association threatened to start next Monday. Salary was not an issue. Negotiators initialed the pact after compromising on just cause dismissal procedures for some non-tenured teachers and nurses, a plan for forced layoffs of staff, and three other issues that had prevented earlier settlement. Voters in the Mount Hood Community College District will vote January 13th on a five-year serial levy request for $2,300,000. The levy would allow $1,700,000 annually for operation of the school, with about $600,000 reserved for vocational technical equipment for the first 3 years and $300,000 for the last two. Well, here's another theory in that big story about 20 people disappearing from Lincoln County in search of another planet. A columnist for the Portland Journal, Doug Baker, says the UFO story is, in his words, nothing more than a wild and wonderful hoax perpetrated by a pair of college students preparing a paper on psychological reactions to panic in a small American community. That was in today's paper. Baker theorizes that police, newspapers, TV, and radio have been set up by the perpetrators of the elaborate hoax, who reportedly confessed the scheme to a prominent Walport citizen 2 days ago. The citizen wants to remain anonymous, of course. Weather, cold, rainy, and that's the news to 1108. This is KOIN Portland.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Since earliest recorded time, man has believed it was possible to see into the future. He has honored and showered gifts on those who purported to be able to unveil the future. However, the Bible has warned against the oracles and soothsayers and threatened them with punishment. In Leviticus 20:17, we find a man or a woman that divineth by a ghost or a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. This admonition has not stopped the fortune teller, the reader of palms, or the tarot cards.
Here, take this orange, but do not remove the handkerchief. Place it on the floor beneath your right foot. Now, press down. Down. Use all your strength. Crush the orange. Crush it. All right, now pick it up. Examine the orange for signs. What do you find?
No! No! No!
Our mystery drama, They Shall Stone Them with Stones, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
In case you've forgotten how much fun driving can be, Buick would like to introduce you to Skylark, a small car that's all Buick, with room, comfort, and an engine that no other compact car in America offers, the incredible Buick V6. Skylark, it's free spirit made practical. Larry T. has just been released from prison. He wants to be given a new chance, but he needs our help. The God we worship expects us to work with Larry T. or anyone else who needs our time, our understanding. During our country's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans and sacrifices to help relieve suffering. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A message from Religion and American Life, the Ad Council, and the station.
This is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind needs special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Lewis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Lewis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Lewis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Lewis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
It is a gloomy, rainy day in March. A small, poorly dressed woman makes her way down a debris-cluttered street in the poor section of town. Clutched to her breast is a newspaper package, which she holds as though it contains all that she holds sacred in this world. Suddenly she stops, realizing that she had passed the entrance she seeks. She turns back and retraces her steps until she sees the garish red-on-black sign in a first-floor window. Madame Darazum, readings, palms, tarot cards, phrenology, help in business, love, and life. She eagerly mounts the few stone steps to the entrance and rings the bell.
Welcome, Mrs. Fielding. Welcome to my humble house of repose and meditation.
Oh, Madame Darazum, I'm a little late. I'm sorry.
Please, no excuses. I foresaw that you would be tardy. Come in, please. This way, into my tent.
Tent?
I am from a nomadic tribe. My ancestors have always moved over the surface of this earth. Now sit down.
Oh, yes.
I see you have brought with you the objects I requested, the newly ironed handkerchief.
Oh, yes, and the orange.
Now, I want your mind to accept completely what I have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
If you should doubt but the slightest, all will be lost. And I will not be able to help you.
Oh, I don't doubt for a second. That's why I'm here, for you to help me.
That's good. I feel the serene elements of the other world seeping into my being. They will guide me in my quest. You are here, Mrs. Fielding, because in our last meeting, I felt you were in the thrall of an evil presence. Now, you will follow my instructions to the letter.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Remember, everything depends on it.
I remember.
Hand me the orange and the handkerchief.
Here.
I wrap the orange in the handkerchief. I ask the beings that guide us to place their strength into this instrument, this orange, so that we may understand the nature of your trouble. Now, this orange covered with this handkerchief I place on your lungs, stomach, your brain, your heart. Now, bow your head and ask for help.
Oh, help me. Please, help me.
Here, take the orange, but do not remove the handkerchief. Place it on the floor beneath your right foot. That's right. Now press down with all your strength. Crush the orange. Crush it. Pick it up. Examine it. Examine the orange for signs. What do you find?
No. No! No! That thing, that ugly thing in the orange, what was it? It looked like a lizard or a spider or something awful.
It was the evil thing that infests your body and your spirit. The powers that I called on revealed it in the orange, which you crushed.
That ugly thing?
It was a sign warning you. You are under an evil spell. Everything you possess is infected with it.
Everything?
Not only your person, the house you live in, the things you possess. Now, you have savings, money you've put away.
Oh, very little. I can't save much on Charlie's salary.
How much?
Oh, $300-$400. I have the bank book with me. Here, here, see for yourself.
$457.18.
Oh, we were never much for saving money.
I must tell you that your money has a curse on it. You must go to the bank and draw out...
Everything?
No. You will draw out just 450 in small bills. You will bring the money here, and I will call on the spirits to wash the evil out of the money.
Oh, I don't know.
Your money will be completely safe. I will wrap your money in a cloth, sew it up, and give it back to you.
Oh.
You will take the package of money to your bank and put it in your safe deposit box. You will lock the package of money away for 1 year and 70 days to allow the evil in the money to disappear. And then your money will be clean.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll do that. I'll bring you the money.
Now, remember this. This is most important. If you should open the package even 1 minute before the time is up, the money will turn into worthless paper.
Oh, no, I promise. I promise I won't touch it for 1 year and 70 days. Oh, you expecting someone?
No.
Open up! Open up! Police!
What is the meaning of this?
Police, you're under arrest. The look on her face. She was out the door in record time. My cop impersonation was perfect.
Go ahead and laugh, Harry. Very funny. Your gangbuster entrance did me out of $450.
Saved you from a stretch in the pen, you mean. So you're back into that switch the paper for the money racket.
Better than the creaky old vaudeville act you and I were doing.
What was wrong with it? We were a top act.
Where? We hadn't worked for 3 months, and I began to get hungry.
Dangerous, Emma. Too dangerous for you. For us. We ain't kids anymore. We can't run as fast as we used to.
Harry, it's more than just earning a buck. I began to have... I don't know, something was bothering me. I began to feel something inside of me, telling me what was coming next. I was beginning to feel something that I never experienced before.
Oh, come on.
Now, listen. It was a young girl. After we'd gone through all the standard stunts, I suddenly had to speak to her, to warn her. You remember I asked her to come backstage after the performance?
I sort of remember.
Well, when I saw her, I knew that she only had a short time to live.
She looked sick.
Now, on the contrary, there was nothing in her face or manner to reveal it.
So?
7 weeks later, she was dead. A malignancy. Even her doctor didn't know it until later. It was then I began to wonder about what I was doing. I just had to get away and think.
Well, I got the cure for those half-baked ideas you got in your head. It's safer, too. You're coming back into our old act, and that'll keep you too busy to think about how you can really read minds.
Harry, if I'd have known what you was going to try and sell me, I would have locked the door. Madame Dora Zoom and Harry Murchison. That act would have been dated in 1910.
Let's go, Harry.
No. Pinky, you got to listen to me.
Why, what's the point? I couldn't sell a cockamaniac like yours.
We got something new, big, sensational.
Yeah, what?
Tell him, Emma. Tell them about how you can really see into the future. How you can read minds.
Oh, come on. Will you quit wasting my time?
It's true, Pinky. Tell them, Emma.
You were out to the track yesterday.
Yeah, well, what's new about that? I'm out there almost every day.
You bet $50 on a horse. Ticket number 3541063. Eighth race.
Yeah. How did I bet him?
Show.
Right. Yeah, what did he do?
He ran out of the money. You lost.
Well, you're right. Absolutely right.
See what I tell you.
How did you do it, Emma?
You read your mind. All right, let's go.
No, wait a minute. No, wait. Now, you know that wasn't bad. You can really pull that stunt. Mind reading, the real thing.
What have I been telling you?
Now, look, there is a spot.
Yeah?
It's a small nightclub. It's really a roadhouse.
What kind of dough?
Well, it's a small joint. Money's small also. But it's a good place to break in your new act. You could start tonight.
What about the money?
Harry, hold it. Pinky's right. We got to break the act in. We'll take it, Pinky.
Oh, good, great. You know, I got to hand it to you, Emma. You sure knocked me cold with that one. Even my own wife don't know I lost her. She was out in the track with me. Well, I'm sorry to have to shove you out like this, but I got a million people waiting to see me. So look, go out this side door here. Yeah.
Okay,
I'll,
Pinky,
I'll see
we'll be seeing you.
Yeah,
right. Of course, huh?
Bye.
Well, how do you like that? We got a job, and it's only a beginning. How'd you do it, Emma? You really read his mind?
No such luck. I was sitting next to the wastebasket. I saw the torn stub of a race ticket lying on top of the other waste paper. I could read the amount, date, ticket number, and race without any trouble. The rest I just put together. It was a good guess. He wouldn't have thrown the ticket away if he'd won.
May I have your attention, ladies and gentlemen? Madame Darazum, known all over Europe and Asia for her great psychic gifts, will entertain you with a demonstration of her powers. I will go among you, and by your concentration and her telepathic skill, Madame Darazum, blindfolded, will look into your innermost thoughts and perhaps be able to warn of dangers lurking ahead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Madame Darazum. Are you ready, Madame Darazum?
I am ready, Mr. Murchison.
I am standing next to a person, Madame Darazum.
You are standing next to a lady.
You are correct. She is holding a valuable object in her hand. If you had a thought about it, what would you say?
The lady is showing you a watch. It is an old watch.
One more bit of information. Concentrate.
It was given to her by her father, who is no longer living.
Thank you, Madame Darazum. Thank you. Now let us try something more difficult. I am facing an individual.
You are speaking with a gentleman.
That is correct. Now he shows me something important. Can you identify it for the assembled audience?
Wait. I see a small card. Numbers on it. It is a social security card.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Can you give us the first three digits? Think. Separate your lines of communication. Oh, I know you can do it.
I have a 2.
Right. Go on.
I have a 7.
Go on. Don't stop.
I have a 0. Oh. The first three digits are 270.
Wonderful. You are absolutely correct, Madame Darazum.
Wow. No, hey, wait a minute.
Just a minute, sir, please.
No, it's a trick. It's just a trick. You were given a signal.
What do you want me to do?
Just give me the rest of the numbers on my Social Security card, if you can.
Very well. Now, I want you to think of only one thing. The numbers.
Okay. I'm thinking.
The numbers are 270.
Yeah.
01 08 49. Is that correct, sir?
That's right. Whoa. That is right. Whoa.
That's right. Thank you.
Now, for myself and Madame Darazum, I say good evening. We shall be back for the next...
No, there's something else. I must speak.
Madam Darazum will be back later.
No, I must speak now. There is a woman at the table behind you.
Madam Darazum, you are tired, weary from your telepathic feats, and I...
That woman is wearing an opal brooch.
Yes, yes.
Would you hand the brooch to Mr. Murchison, please?
Very well. I'm holding it in my hands.
The donor of that brooch is dead. Am I correct?
The lady nods her head in the affirmative. You are correct.
Wait. The brooch was not given.
What are you saying? Reconsider what you were saying.
The brooch was taken. The owner of the brooch did not die a natural death. She was murdered.
A flash, a momentary revelation. The dark curtain that veils the future and covers the secrets of the heart and mind is flung aside. If only our fortune teller could know what this sudden stab of light in the darkness would do to her own life, she might have hesitated, might have kept the secret suddenly open to her, closed forever. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Dr. Margaret Mead presents alternatives for working mothers.
When I was a child, I was always very much interested in children. And as I was growing up, I hoped to have 6 children, and I planned their names. Now, for many years, I was unable to have children. Finally, I was successful in having one child, whom I enjoyed very much, who was born just at the beginning of World War II. What I did was to move in with another family, and we shared the tasks of supporting and looking after this very large household, which is, I feel, the great solution for women who want to have children and also want to follow some kind of career.
Families together can find new ways of childcare so mothers can fully realize their God-given potential. Consider this option when you make choices. This affirmation of family by the Mennonite churches. Children make a lot of noise, but to me it's a wonderful sound. They have a lot of energy, a lot of playing to do before they take on the serious world of adulthood. Every day they take on a bit more of this wonderful world. I guess we're lucky, because there are so many places in the world where the children are too weak, even for play. Bangladesh, Honduras, right here at home. They're weak from a lack of protein and essential vitamins, weak from the bad water and the parasites that rob them of important nutrients. A childhood of tears instead of laughter. And even if they do manage to become adults, their minds and limbs will be stunted by chronic malnutrition. You can help a child to grow up strong and independent, maybe even be one of tomorrow's leaders. Send your contribution to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
There's an old saying, if you're good, you succeed. If you're too good, you fail. Madame Darazum and her partner will find out the truth of the old adage. Next morning, they were surprised to find that their act wasn't the smashing hit they had thought it was.
Look, there's nothing more we can do. You were fired, canned, thrown out. The owner of the club don't want that kind of aggravation you caused him. I was there, wasn't I? I don't blame him.
You gotta admit, Pinky, the act was sensational.
Yeah, well, that kind of sensation he don't need. He'll probably have a dozen lawyers sitting on his front door tomorrow morning, suing him for $1 million apiece. What got into you, Emma? What did you go out of your head or something? Or make a statement like that?
She couldn't help herself, Pinky. She gets a message like that, he's gotta get it out.
Yeah, well, you're finished after that. And even if you were still saleable, I wouldn't touch you. Too dangerous.
What do you mean?
Just what I said, dangerous. I mean, if you were right about that woman being knocked off, don't you think the guy that did it is going to be interested in keeping you quiet? Perhaps permanently.
Well,
I'll return to show business at a very short life.
Who are you blaming, Emma?
Oh, Harry, I'm sorry. I know how much you wanted to get the old act going.
You went too far. Could have been a real moneymaker. Now, no use crying. Better get our clothes packed and get out of this hotel. Out of work, we can't afford it.
I can always go back to the old fortune-telling racket.
Raise the shoe? Oh, no, thank you.
Well, you suggest something.
Oh, I'm all out of suggestions, Emma. Yeah? Someone asked for us? Leave his name? Oh. Strange. Okay, if he comes in again, call me. Don't tell him we're in. Just get his name and where we can reach him. Thanks, Eddie.
What is it?
I don't know. It's kind of got me nervous. Someone looking for us.
Why should that make you nervous?
Well, you know what Pink said about the guy wanting to keep us quiet.
Oh, Harry, come on. You're going to make our lives miserable if we have to keep looking over our shoulders to see who's following us all the time.
Well, you are the mind reader. You ought to be able to see what's coming and avoid it.
Well, that's the trouble, Harry. It's in and out. Most of the time, I can't see a thing.
Oh, what is this? Hello.
Harry, this is Pinky.
Oh, Pinky. What's up?
I just want to tell you, you got more lives than a cat.
What are you talking about?
The act. It's on again.
You mean someone wants us?
You're right. Big job. BCV Hotel Syndicate. They got places all over the country, all over the world. Well, they're always looking for acts they can send around to all their spots.
Emma, good news. We're working. When do we start?
Tonight. The big shot Gaxton, Wilton Gaxton, head man for the hotel chain, is giving a party out on the island. Car and chauffeur will be sent for you. Can you do it?
Can we? Pinky, I don't know what to say.
Well, don't say nothing. Just send money. Oh, well, do me a favor.
Yeah?
Tell Madame Derazum, just the regular act tonight. Stick to the routine. And for goodness sakes, don't ad lib.
Welcome to Weatherwell. I've been looking forward to this meeting.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gaxton.
Oh, please, no formalities. My name is Wilton, Harry.
Well, that's great, Wilton. That's the way I like things. Easy, relaxed.
And that's the way we're going to have them, Harry. And you are?
Emma.
Emma?
Not a very glamorous name.
Well, I don't know. It is something of a surprise, considering...
Considering my ability to read minds?
Well, yes.
Maybe that's a bit overrated, too, Mr. Gaxton.
Wilton, please.
Look, Wilton, Madam's just being modest. She's really great.
Well, that was the impression I got the other night during your performance at the Douglas Inn Roadhouse.
Oh, you were there? Well, Emma and I kind of wondered where you'd caught the act.
Oh, I was there. I was very much impressed. It was a truly sensational performance, Emma. Oh,
thank you. You flatter me. Isn't it getting rather late to give a performance for your guests?
Guests?
Yeah. Pinky said you wanted us to come out here and entertain your guests and get another look at the act yourself.
Oh, I don't know where your agent got that idea.
But he told me you had a big party going, and you...
Well, I'm certain that you misunderstood him.
Well, what did you bring us out here for, Mr. Gaxton?
Let us say that I'm enchanted with your performance, Madame Darazum, and I would like to see it again.
Just for you alone?
Why not? I am paying you. You will be signing a contract in the next day or so. Why shouldn't I request a command performance?
You have another reason, haven't you?
Is this part of your mind-reading act, madam? Are you reading my mind?
No.
Well, then, let's get on with it, shall we?
Yeah, yeah. Showtime. Come on, Madame Darazum. It's our cue. Thank you for your kind applause. Now, Madame Darazum, known all over Europe and Asia for her psychic gifts, will entertain you.
Your quarters, I think you will find them comfortable.
Just one thing. Tomorrow morning, we'll be wanting to get back to the city.
You will be driven back, Harry, the way you came.
When does this tour start? I understand we're to visit and play the many hotels on your circuit.
I'm not familiar with the arrangements, Emma. Perhaps your agent, Mr. Shears, could brief you on that?
All right. We'll talk to him.
Yeah, Pinky should know.
Then I shall bid you good night.
Oh, Mr. Gaxton?
Yes?
You asked us to go through our act tonight for you alone.
Well, why not? I I wanted to see what I was buying.
When we finished, you gave us no indication of your feelings about it. You didn't applaud.
You didn't even smile politely.
Were you disappointed?
Well...
You were disappointed.
Frankly, madam, yes.
Now, look, how can we be expected to do a decent job with no audience? You know, to a performer, an audience is all important. It makes all
Wait a minute. You're being too defensive, Harry. I wasn't too disappointed in the act. I was just a bit put off that Madame Darazum didn't pull any surprises.
Like she did the other night?
Yes.
I'm glad she did. Pinky, he specifically warned her not to pull any surprises.
Oh, I see. But it was that which sold me on your act. It was the part I found attractive and fascinating. Well, now, good night.
How do you like that? Pinky wants us to keep the act under control. Caxton only buys the act because you nearly caused a riot. And you guess...
I don't believe Mr. Gaxton is saying everything that's on his mind. I'm not absolutely certain.
But he's concealing something.
Yes.
It has something to do with the opal brooch. He's mixed up in that business. Or it could be...
I'm not completely sure, but why don't you say it, Harry? Murder.
Emma, you awake?
Yeah. Nearly seven, isn't it?
Just. I haven't slept a wink. I've been running the whole thing over and over in my mind. The little shiny iron ball rolling around in my head like a pinball machine.
What do you come up with?
Tilt. Just don't believe it.
What I've been wondering about is what relationship was the woman with the brooch to Gaxton?
Look, let's stop playing cops. We're only a couple of performers trying to make a buck. We are not the police. We have nothing to gain and plenty to lose by kicking this out into the open.
Yeah, I agree.
What's more, it'll kill the job, the contract to work in the hotels he heads up. We'd be crazy to burn up our own meal ticket.
Well, you're right, Harry. We'd be crazy to do it, but something tells me we have no choice.
What do you mean, no choice? We keep out of it. No, nothing. Somebody asks.
Harry, if Gaxton is implicated, he won't wait. He won't give us a chance to play it anyway, but his way.
His way?
Look, we know something, or he thinks we do. We're in trouble.
Yeah. Better get dressed. We're getting out of here.
How? We're supposed to get a ride back, aren't we?
I'm not waiting. Hello? Hello?
Who are you calling?
I'm going to get a taxi. It must be a local taxi company out here. Start packing. Hello? Hello? Phone's dead.
Look, let's not pack. Let's just leave.
I'm with you. Come on. Door won't open, Emma.
Well, turn the key.
No key.
You're so upset, you can't even... Here, let me try.
I told you, that door's locked.
Go to the window.
Three-story drop, not even a vine or a tree near enough.
Someone at the door.
Who is it?
Good morning. Everything all right?
Yeah, fine, just fine.
Let him in.
Can't. Door's locked.
Mr. Gaxton, we can't open the door. It's locked.
Locked?
It doesn't seem to be locked.
Why did you lock us in, Gaxton?
What? What are you saying? The door isn't locked.
We tried the door. We couldn't open it.
Well, it's open now.
Because you opened it.
From the tone of your voice, you are accusing me of having locked you in.
And cutting off our phone.
Cutting off your... Oh, yes. Oh, the phone was off. Charles always cuts all the phones after midnight. You see, I suffer from insomnia. And if the phone should wake me, I have great difficulty getting back to sleep.
You have an answer for everything, don't you?
I assure you that it is the truth. Charles always puts it on again by 7 a.m.
Well, happens to be 7:05 right now. Let's just see how efficient Charles is. It's working. Phone's on.
You see?
Mr. Gaxton, we want to leave.
Now.
Right now. Can we have your car to take us to a train, a bus station?
Well, now, something seems to be wrong. Why are you behaving so antagonistically towards me? Last night,
we discovered a lot of things.
Such as...
Harry, don't say anything.
Suddenly, your attitude has changed. Your conversation full of hidden meanings and innuendos. Now, come on. Come here. What's bothering
Harry,
you?
Harry, don't say anything.
I got it, Emma. Mr. Gaxton,
We think you hired us because you thought we knew something about the murder. The murder Madam spoke about in our act the other night at the nightclub.
Go on.
We decided to go to the police.
Whatever for? You really know the murderer?
We think we do. Maybe you do, too.
What? Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. It sounds as though you're accusing me of murder.
In the lexicon of professional mind reading, rule one, to which Madame Darazum had always adhered, was that one had to be relatively certain before making a prediction. Harry's blurted out accusation of Wilton Gaxton violates that rule. She was anything but certain of his guilt or his motives, and there is now in the back of her mind a feeling that nothing but disaster can result. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Buick's 1976 Century Regal is the most luxurious midsize car Buick builds. But it's also got a practical side. In fact, it makes a concession to practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Regal, it's got the spirit.
Keep your guns. In a drawer, closet, in a rack on the wall. Every day across the country, crimes are committed with stolen guns. Stolen because simple security precautions were not taken by someone. When possible, lock your guns in place. Run a steel strap or chain through the trigger guards of rifles and handguns. And if your guns are stolen, notify the police immediately. This is Chuck Connors for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
Army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way.
For information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who join the army.
After their break with Wilton Gaxton, Madame Darazum and Harry Murchison were driven back to the city by the Gaxton chauffeur. Harry was troubled by the situation which he felt he had caused by his ill-considered accusation of the man who at first had been so kind to them and then seemed so threatening. The question in Madame Darazum's mind was equally unanswerable. No gleam of light penetrated the darkness. With great reluctance, they both decided to present the matter to the police.
Now, what you're saying could be very damaging, Mr. Murchison, and consequently could bounce back and cause you and your wife a lot of trouble.
We told you what happened, Lieutenant, exactly as it happened.
Yeah, your story is very interesting, but unsubstantiated. I mean, you've got to have facts, not a hocus-pocus vaudeville performance.
Madame Darazum can read mine.
I'm familiar with your act, and also with your records. I don't think anything you two would say in court would cause too much excitement.
You're saying we're lying, that this whole business is just a stunt.
Publicity, that's what you want, isn't it? I mean, it's good for the act.
Oh, Harry, come on. The only thing that would get this cop off the seat of his chair is to find us both shot through the head on the front steps of the precinct station.
Well, that would make it simpler for me. But seriously, let me lay it out for you. You are accusing Wilton Gaxton, a prominent man.
Rich, powerful, with a license to kill. That's what you mean, isn't it?
No. Now, damn it, you've wasted enough of the department's time. And I've been very patient with you. You haven't a shred of evidence. All you have is what Madame cooks up in her mind-reading act. And with your past police records, do you think anyone would give the slightest credibility to anything you could say?
Sorry to have wasted so much of your valuable time, Lieutenant. Come on, Harry.
Well, that was a waste of time.
Well, you wanted to go to the police, Harry. I knew what the answer would be.
Let's grab a taxi and get back to the hotel. We got to check out before 1 o'clock or we're stuck for an extra day.
With our bankroll, don't you think a bus would be more sensible?
Taxi! We haven't got time for the bus. Taxi! Taxi! Get in, Emma. Shelburne Hotel driver.
Well, what's our next move, Harry?
We gotta get lost. Run. Hide. Anything. I'm not the mind-reading half of the act, but I can feel something. I don't like the way it feels.
Where? Where can we go? We gotta make a buck.
If only we could have gotten an advance on the job with Gaxton.
Yeah, if...
Maybe Pinky was smart enough to get an advance.
No good. He'd have to give it back to Gaxton if we weren't gonna take the job.
Job? What job? There ever was one. It was only Gaxton's way of getting us. Setting us up for the knockout.
That car. Alongside. Look out! There's a gun! Stop! He's been shot! Oh, help me! Help me! Violet's been shot!
Well, when did the doctor say he'd let you out of the hospital, Murchison?
I could have gone out yesterday afternoon, but I didn't want to leave.
Not without police protection, Lieutenant. Remember just yesterday when we talked to you, you said it was a publicity stunt? 20 minutes later, Harry had a bullet in his shoulder.
Lucky thing that bullet wasn't a few inches over.
All right, I was wrong. I admit it.
Hey, he admits it. Guy has to get nearly killed before he gets any notice from the cops.
Okay, you want police protection, you got it.
What about Gaxton? You gonna pick him up?
And lose my job? We haven't got a thing on him.
Oh, here we go again.
Hey, Harry! Harry, Emma, take a look at those newspapers.
Oh.
You've got coverage in every one. One page. Mystic Reed's mind gets shot. Oh, and here, look at this one. Mind of killer unmasked by seer.
We saw all the papers, Pinky.
Oh, yeah, sure you saw them.
But do you know what this means?
It means some nut is trying to kill me. That's what it means.
I don't think it was you he was after, Harry. I'm certain that it's Madam here who's being hunted.
Who's this?
Oh, Pinky, I'd like you to meet Lieutenant...
McCloskey, Edward McCloskey.
Mr. Shears, our agent.
Mr. Shears, you started to say something and you were interrupted. Something like, you know what it means.
Yeah, but I was going to tell my clients that I have been simply deluged with offers, folks. If I could just get you out of that Gaxton deal, I could get you 3 times what he offered.
Don't worry about Gaxton, Pinky. We wouldn't work for him if he gave us Fort Knox.
We haven't signed anything and we won't.
Oh, great. Then I've got a job for you. Starts tonight.
Pinky, hold it.
What?
We're not working for anyone. We just want to get away.
I don't get it.
Look, just say we're allergic to getting killed. Someone's out to get us. He missed the first time. Maybe the second time his aim will improve.
With police protection, what could hurt you? And the fact that there are cops around makes it even better. You know, authentic. It's a natural.
No.
Wait a minute. I want you to take the job.
What?
Take it. It's the best thing you could do. The killer. If there is a killer.
We have to go through all this all over again.
Okay. The killer will want to have another chance at you. He must be worried that you know something about him. I'll give you complete coverage. And when he makes his try, we'll be there to nab him.
So I'm to be the bait in your mousetrap, Lieutenant.
Can you give me a better plan?
Oh, do it, Emma. Harry, I tell you, it's a great idea.
Oh, spoken like a true agent, Pinky. You've got nothing to lose, not even your 10%. Well, what do you say, Harry?
Well, all right.
Good.
Why not? Better than going around wondering when it was going to happen. This way, it'll force it.
When do we start, Pinky?
Tonight.
The bait is ready for the trap, Lieutenant. Better be sure you're ready to capture the rat.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an element of danger lurking here tonight. The great Madame Darazome has, through her incredible psychic vision, uncovered a killer. This killer has not been apprehended. Madame Darazome is the only one in the world who can point the finger at him. And he will try to prevent this at any cost. Please notice that my right arm is in a sling. The killer fired at Madame in a moving taxi just 36 hours ago. Fortunately, I was able to keep Madame Darizum from harm. And now, friends, the one, the only, the incomparable Madame Darizum.
Oh, you're a smash, Emma.
Yeah, well, I'm exhausted. The strain was just too much. But he didn't show.
I was watching all through the act. I didn't feel he would, actually. Not through the performance.
Police all around?
Yeah, street clothes. All trying to look like customers. Hey, you know who came in while you were doing the last reading?
Gaxton.
Right. I didn't want to let on to you for fear you'd get nervous and blow the act. But you were blindfolded.
I felt him enter. He sat way in the back near the exit.
Yeah, that's right. So the human radar was working tonight.
Yes. Something else. I felt a warning, a flash of danger. And it's still there.
Look, Emma, the lieutenant's still around. All his men, too. Gaxton wouldn't try anything.
No, I suppose not. I just can't help feeling.
Yes?
It's Lieutenant McCloskey. May I come in?
Oh, sure, Lieutenant. Come in.
Ah, thanks. Good show tonight, madame.
Thanks.
All tricks, nothing supernatural, but a good show.
What do you know, Lieutenant? She knew that Gaxton was in the audience tonight, even though she was blindfolded.
Amazing.
Okay. I won't try to convince you again.
Gaxton was spoken to and asked to leave immediately after the performance. I sent a man with him to keep him company.
Oh, thanks, Lieutenant. I can breathe easier now.
Yes?
Is Madame Darizum there?
Harry, I don't want to see anybody. Get rid of her.
Leave it to me. I'm sorry, but Madame Darizum is tired after her...
Well, I'd better be rounding up my men and getting out of here.
Thanks for your attention, Lieutenant.
Look, we'll have a man stationed at the hotel for the next couple of days, or at least until we feel you'll both be safe.
I appreciate that.
Emma, this dame out there, she's from the trade papers, wants to do a short interview.
Well, tell her to come to the hotel tomorrow.
No time. Has to have it tonight. The deadline's tonight.
Oh, all right. I'll keep it short. Send her in.
Come in, Miss...
Mrs. Rossert. Mrs. Owen Rossert.
How do you do, Mrs. Rossert? Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
Now, I'll be going along now. Speak with you tomorrow.
Thanks, Lieutenant, for all you've done.
I think I'll walk out with you, Lieutenant. Be back in a minute, Madame Darizum.
Now, what can I do for you, Mrs. Rossert?
You can die, Madame Darizum.
What?
Don't you know me? You addressed your remarks to me just a few short days ago. Perhaps this opal brooch will refresh your memory. And this gun will wipe out the picture forever.
No, wait. Look, you won't get away. The place is full of police.
Oh, they're all gone now. The lieutenant was the last one here. His car was waiting outside. He'll be gone, too.
Please, I know nothing about you. I had a brief, cloudy picture. That's past. Gone from my mind.
It's too late. You know too much. You know I killed my stepmother for her money. She'd lived too long, the miserly old witch. And now I shall kill you, so you won't be able to tell the world.
No, you'll be caught. You'll go to prison.
They'll just send me back to that place. You see, I have a record of mental illness, so I can kill and get away with it. Now, die, Madame Darizum!
The doctor says the wounds were both superficial. You'll be out of here inside of a week.
Looks like you and I are... playing more time in hospitals and on the boards.
Oh, I think our trouble is over. They got that Rossett dame and she's back in the sanitarium. For good this time. Oh, and I didn't tell you.
What?
We're out of a job again. Seems we caused too much excitement.
Sounds like the story of our lives. That must be the doctor. Said he'd be around to see me. Come in.
Mr. Gaxton.
Still afraid of me?
No. No. Sorry about that. You see, we...
Water over the dam, no hard feelings. What I want to know is, have you spoken to your agent, Mr. Shears?
No.
Oh, then you haven't signed the new contract I've had drawn up for you?
But...
No buts. I want your act. And the contract will run for 2 years with options for renewal, twice the money, and no cancellation clause. What do you say?
In all her predictions, her projections into the future, Madame d'Arazum had not seen even the hazy outlines of her own life and future career. Now it was being presented to her in rosy detail by a man whom she had doubted and feared. She would have been the first to acknowledge the fallibility of her divining. I'll return shortly.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right. If people helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves the point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development. The United States Catholic Conference.
In Deuteronomy 18:19, the Bible warns us again. There shall not be found among you anyone that useth divination, a soothsayer, or an enchanter, or a sorcerer, or a charmer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. But despite these warnings, there are many in the world who cannot resist the temptation to delve into the unknown. Our cast included Terry Keane, Jackson Beck, Arnold Stang, Bryna Rayburn, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Lamps, please. Good. Face your scalpel. Swab, please. Clamps.
How'd it go, Brian?
No problem.
Finally got in touch with Mr. Clay's daughter-in-law. She and her husband are on their way into the hospital, breathing fire.
About what?
Well, they felt they should have been consulted about the operation before it happened.
Simple appendix. Why in the... Dr. Marshall. Yes, Dr. Schaefer.
What?
Respiratory failure. Why didn't you tell me sooner? No, I'll be right up.
Mr. Clay?
Yes.
What?
I don't know. Secondary result of the operation, perhaps.
Oh, poor Tom. His first.
It could be his last. I just have a miserable hunch your brother and I are in for a rough time.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KYN Portland, this is 12 midnight.
CBS News. Speedy action in the Middle East to implement a second stage Sinai troop withdrawal follows congressional approval of stationing American technicians there. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Moving faster than expected, the Senate last night passed a resolution approving stationing 200 American civilian technicians in the Sinai to monitor the Egyptian-Israeli peace accord. The measure, passed by the House Thursday night, now goes to President Ford for signing. But even in advance of that technicality, implementation of the accord is going forward, as we hear in this report from Bruno Wassertile.
Israel will put its full and final signature to the interim agreement with Egypt within the next couple of hours. The signing ceremony is set to take place at UN headquarters in Jerusalem in the presence of General Enzio Salafo, head of the UN peacekeeping forces in the Middle East. Signing for Israel will be a high-ranking government official and a military man. Abraham Kidron, Director General of the Foreign Ministry, and Major General Herzl Shafir. With Israel's signature on the military protocols of the agreement, Implementation of the accord will begin at once. Egypt already signed the military protocols in full several weeks ago in Geneva. The timetable for the implementation of the agreement worked out at Geneva will remain valid, and Israel will complete its withdrawal to new lines in the Sinai by the end of February. Bruno Ostertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
Syrian President Hafez al-Assad meets Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev today in Moscow. Observers say their talk could cover a possible new partial peace agreement between Syria and Israel. There's been no advance announcement of the Assad trip to Moscow. Soviet and Syrian officials had attacked the American-negotiated partial troop withdrawal between Egypt and Israel. Observers note it was after a 1974 visit to Moscow by Assad that Secretary of State Kissinger negotiated the first partial agreement between Syria and Israel. CBS News continues following this message.
When the leaves come off, put the collar on, the two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Your dog can get ticks anytime, so keep a Hearts two-in-one collar on year-round. For every tick it kills now, up to 2,000 ticks won't be born this spring. To really kill ticks and fleas, the Hearts 2-in-1 collar is always in season.
When the leaves come off, put the collar on, the 2-in-1 collar from Hearts.
Hi, Mike Rowe here with partner Denny Bracken.
Yeah, Chef, I'm going to get an oil change and a lube job in the old rickshaw, because I understand we're heading for the Orient tomorrow on the Cook Thing here over CBS. Just how far west are we going to travel?
Till we find Rice East.
What?
That's the name of the delicate dish tomorrow. It's an inscrutable combination. Confucius say, rice is rice, as east is east, and rice and east shall meet.
You're going west to find Rice East, huh? He's been in the cooking, Sherry, again, friends. Right here on the CBS radio net, he has.
The man known as the father of the Soviet H-bomb, Andrei Sakharov, has expressed his genuine gratitude at being honored with a Nobel Peace Prize. More on that from CBS News correspondent Richard Roth.
Sakharov's health has been frail. He recently suffered a mild heart attack, but he was glowing and animated as he received Western reporters in a friend's apartment. Part of his public statement was conciliatory, Sakharov saying he hoped his election as a Nobel laureate would not be seen as a challenge to the Soviet system. But he clearly remains dedicated to the work that earned him the prize. I hope the prize will mean good things for political prisoners in the Soviet Union, he said. I hope it will support the battle for human rights in which I take part. Sakharov said he hopes to travel to Norway to receive the prize in person. He said he was not afraid of Soviet authorities allowing him to leave the country and then not allowing him to return. Richard Roth, CBS News, Moscow.
In a broadcast news conference Thursday night, President Ford vowed he would veto any tax cut bill that Congress sends him unless it's accompanied by reductions in federal spending. And Mr. Ford said the voters should throw out this reform Congress if it turns down his plan to cut taxes and federal spending each by $28 billion. More in a moment.
Should have known you shouldn't drive, but they said
he's only drinking beer.
He's only drinking beer.
How drunk can you get on beer?
Too much beer or wine can make your friend too drunk to drive, and black coffee won't really help. But you can drive him yourself. Call a cab. Friends don't let friends drive drunks.
Didn't realize it.
Sad news, Mr. Adams.
Find out who else you can help. Write Drunk Driver, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland. Public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The Food and Drug Administration plans a new attempt to determine whether the country's most widely used food coloring, red number 2, causes cancer. About 1 million pounds of the dye is used every year to color a wide variety of edible products. A Ralph Nader-backed medical study organization said its studies strongly indicate the substance does cause cancer, urged its banning. During the 4 years since that charge, the FDA released several studies showing red number 2 to be safe, but now plans to study it again. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
That I want to get to know a little better.
Tonight I'm gonna take her to the picture show. Gonna park in the darkest spot I know. I got a question.